إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Alhamdulillah ala ni'matil Islam wal Iman. We praise Allah. Indeed, He is worthy of praise for the favors that He has given to us, especially al-Islam and al-Iman. May Allah make us of those who look at and consider what it is that we are sending ahead for tomorrow, knowing that Allah is well aware of all that we do. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this lecture number 18 from our series, Character and Manners in the Sunnah Part 2, which is basically the explanation of hadith from Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, the final chapter of the book, Kitab al-Jami'. And in the Kitab al-Jami', there are a number of sub-chapters. The first of those sub-chapters we completed already, dealing with al-adab, manners, and this chapter is dealing with al-birr, righteousness, kindness, parents. Nasila, keeping the ties with our relatives. The hadith that we've been discussing for the last few classes is the hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, who narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, Inna Allah ta'ala harrama alaykum uquq al-ummahat wa wa'ad al-banat wa man'an wa hat. وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالْ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ وَإِضَاعَةُ الْمَالِ. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, has made haram for us disobedience to mothers and burying our daughters alive, and man'an wahat, holding back that which Allah has made obligatory upon us, and demanding from others that which we have no right to. And He dislikes for us three other matters, which are also haram. Qila wa qal, and he gossip. Wa kathratu su'al, and asking a lot of questions, or requesting, or begging people's wealth, or things from them. Wa idaatu al-mal, and wasting of wealth, squandering of wealth. The last two points of this hadith is what we want to discuss tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. That is, asking a lot of questions and demanding from the people, asking for their wealth and their property, and also idaat al-mal, squandering wealth. These are the two points that we want to discuss tonight. Before we do that, inshallah, quickly, we're going to look at the questions from the last lecture, from last week, from study guide number 17. There are seven questions, and if you read those questions and wrote some answers, please help us to get through this as quickly as possible. The first question, explain what man'an, holding back, means in this hadith. What does man'an, holding back, what does it mean in this hadith? When the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has prohibited and Allah dislikes for us these matters. From amongst them, he said, man'an wa hati. Naam. Holding back wealth, okay. Holding back wealth, giving dawah, speech and actions. Okay, what else? Somebody else. Holding back what? What does this hadith mean? That Allah prohibited us from holding, huh? Okay, holding back, giving advice. Does somebody remember some of the specific? Okay, refraining or abstaining from the character that's expected from us now. Yani in general, we gave a few different definitions, what the scholars gave. Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Bassam mentioned a number of definitions. Amongst them, he said that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said that it is holding back what Allah has commanded you to give. And he also gave another definition. He said, holding back what Allah has made obligatory upon you from al-mal, wal-qawl, wal-fi'l, wal-khuluq. And he holding back from wealth that Allah has made obligatory upon you, from speech that Allah has made obligatory upon you, and actions that Allah has made obligatory upon you, and character, the good character that Allah has made obligatory upon us. And he mentioned other definitions, and you know, there were a number of definitions that we had. From amongst them is specifically holding back from the zakat. Zakat. And of course, holding back, ani, is like a general expression that most of the scholars said is in reference to wealth, but it's also inclusive of other things that Allah has made obligatory. Question number two, mention some of the categories of people who are denied when one holds back. When somebody holds back, what are some of the categories of the people who would be deprived, who would be denied? Now, the miskeen, which means poor. Who else? Now, okay, orphans. I don't think we mentioned orphans specifically, but you're correct. Because we did mention something that includes the orphans. Now, what else? Who else would be denied? Who, if we hold back our wealth, who are the people that have a right to it? And they would be deprived if we hold it back. Our family, our relatives, naam. What else? Okay, maybe neighbors, naam. He said poor, needy. Okay, also, if we hold back from zakat, then who would be denied? All the people that are entitled to zakat, right? And how many categories of people are entitled to zakat? Surah at-Tawbah, right? Which ayah? 960. Surah 9, ayah 60. Make a note of that. Go back and read. What are those eight categories the brother said? Fuqara wal-masakeen wal-amaleen alayya to the end of the ayah. Okay? Now, next question. Explain what hati, demanding from others, means in this hadith. What does it mean? Hat, demanding from others in this hadith. What are we talking about? Scholars gave a few definitions. Now, somebody give us one of them. Hat. What do we mean by that? Demanding from others. Yeah. Demanding what is not lawful for you. Not lawful. And you're demanding. What else? What else? Demanding what's not lawful. It's not halal. Anything else? Any other definitions, explanations given? Demanding what a person is not entitled to? Demanding what a person has no right to? Seeking wealth from any source and by any means, not being concerned whether it's haram or halal. All that comes under hat. Tayyib. Number four, give an example of the ways used by some people to demand from others. We see it in the street. What are some of the ways? Well, let's first deal with the example that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. If somebody remembers, what was the example that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen gave? He said, some of the people, when they're demanding from others, what do they do? Okay, that's possible too. They may demand from others to get it by any means, even if they have to lie, right? But what did he say first? He said, they try to sweeten you up with Barakallahu Feek. May Allah bless you, make dua for you. In the sadaqah mahbuba in Allah. Sadaqah is beloved by Allah. It's trying to reach your heart. Huh? But then they start saying, I'm poor, I ain't got no money, I got a family. They might even lie and say, I got a family, I got a lot of children, all kind of stuff. And we see it around us in this society. What people do, they try to beg from others. These are some of the ways. We see a lot of ways. People on the trains, I guess, I don't know, it used to be years ago on the train, begging, give me a nickel, a dime, or a penny, anything will do. Allahu musta'an. Question number five, explain what is meant by qila wa qala in the hadith and the discussion. What is meant by qila wa qala? Again, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Bassam gave some You know, Rahimahullah gave some few definitions related to this, what is meant by it. The Shaykh Uthaymeen gave something concerning to it, and so the Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, give some explanation of what is meant by qila wa qal. Naam. Okay. Yeah, I think in English they say he said, she said. But qila wa qal actually literally means qila, it was said by somebody without saying who said it. And qala means specifically naming the person who said something. Qila wa qal means it was said and he said. Meaning one of them is somebody said without mentioning who said it. And the other one is saying, some so-and-so said such and such and so-and-so. Okay, it's gossip. Okay, what else? What can we understand from this expression, qila wa qal? Some of the scholars said specifically that qila wa qal entails, Abdullah slandering. And it could involve that, but that's, we didn't mention that, but it could involve that. But there are two main things that are discussed here. Now, okay, it could include that also. But specifically, there are some definitions that the scholars meant. Really, what we're looking for, brothers and sisters, we want to see if we're retaining what the scholars have said, how they have explained something. Okay, for example, last week we mentioned that some of the scholars said it means that people are collecting and then spreading everything that they hear. And they also mentioned naam. Okay, that's not under this particular point, but yes, that's part of the problem, yes. Searching for the errors, even from the scholars. But the other point of it is not just collecting everything that a person hears and transmitting it, but they also said without confirming the truthfulness of what has been said. Like they just take anything from people and they don't even know if what they're passing on or what they're hearing is truthful or not. Is it accurate or is this something that somebody made up? And also they said that it involves information and news and events that a person is collecting and conveying. It has nothing to do with them. None of your business. It has nothing to do with you. Aslan, originally, it don't have nothing to do with you. And you don't even know if it's true or not. Then you're just collecting it and passing it on. This is a very dangerous matter. A person should be careful from this. And question number 6, mention one other hadith, any other than the hadith under discussion, which supports the general meaning of the prohibition of occupying oneself with or collecting and transmitting everything that is being said by other people. A hadith that we mentioned in the discussion last week that has the same general meaning of the prohibition of collecting and transmitting everything that the people say or that you hear. Anybody remember any of the hadith that we mentioned last week? Now. Hi. Jayid. Min husn al-Islam al-mar'i tarku ma la ya'nihi. What does that mean? Somebody else. Brother gave it to us in Arabic. What does that mean? Min husn al-Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. What does it mean? Naam. Tayyib. Min husn al-Islam al-mar'i, from the beauty, the goodness of the Islam of a person, and that which indicates the person's Islam is good, tarkuhu, that he leaves ma la ya'nihi. That which doesn't, not related to him, not from his affair, has nothing to do with him. It has nothing to do with you, leave it alone. That shows that that's a sign of the goodness of your Islam. That you don't interfere in other people's business. That you're not trying to find out everything about whatever somebody's doing. It has nothing to do with you. You're not delving into other people's affairs. It has nothing to do with you, leave it alone. You're the imam, you have to deal with the matters of the community. You're not the imam, leave it alone. It has nothing to do with you. And also, the other hadith that's specifically directly related to the hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim is Sahih, which Shaykh Salih Fawzan mentioned. Another hadith. Remember the other hadith? Kafa And you had? Naam. What does that mean, somebody? Kafa bil mar'i kadhiban. And you had fa bi kulli ma sami'a. What does that mean? That is sufficient for a person to be considered a liar. He merely what? Speaks about everything. Transmits everything that he hears. Everything that you hear, so-and-so said, this one said, another one said, and you just pass it on. it's sufficient for you to be a liar. Because some of what you hear might be true. And some of what you hear is going to be a lie. Because people are making up stuff. If you just pass on everything you hear, you will become a liar. For sure, guaranteed. That's a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That it's sufficient for a person to be a liar. If he just merely haditha. He narrates everything that he hears. We have people like that, right? The last question, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, whoever speaks little, and he does not speak a lot, only speaks when there's a need to speak. There's no need to speak, be quiet. Whoever speaks a little, and does not speak except to say that which is khair. This one is what? Is the what? Huh? Did he say Muslim? No, he's a Muslim, but he said he's a mu'min. Now, whoever does not speak a lot, speaks a little. And whenever he does speak, he only speaks that which is good. He said, هَذَا هُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ هَذَا هُوَ السَّالِمٌ This is the one who is the believer. This is the one who is safe. He's safe. Why is he safe? The person who doesn't talk a lot, he's going to be safe. The Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said he would يَسْلَمْ مِنْ شُرُورٍ كَثِيرَةٍ He would save himself from a lot of evil. If he what? Speaks a little bit. And then the Shaykh said, وَمَنْ كَانَ هَذَا مَنْهَجُهُ Whoever, the amazing thing is that whoever, if this is his manhaj, he said, this one, if this is his manhaj, this is what he normally does, this is what he's known for, and he only speaks a little, he said, this one would be saved from a lot of harm and a lot of evil. Because whoever speaks a lot, he will make a lot of mistakes. And whoever speaks a little bit, and when he does speak, he only says that which is good, then this is the one who is a real believer. This is the one who will be safe. So let us save ourselves by restraining our tongue as much as we can. May Allah protect us from the evil of the tongue, from the harm that it brings to ourselves and from the harm that it brings to others. Okay, so from this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, from the things that Allah hates, and we said that kariha, makruh means that which is muharram, that's haram. When Allah hates a thing, then it's what? Haram. Allah hates something, that means it's haram. So from the things that Allah hates is kathratus su'al. Asking a lot of questions, making a lot of requests. And Shaykh Abdullah ibn Ali Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, he said, what is intended is asking for wealth from the one who is not lawful for him to ask. Okay, this is one of the meanings. Asking for the wealth, the property of other people. And who's doing asking? The one who is not halal for him to be asking. Not lawful for everybody to ask. So this is one of the meanings, that the person is not lawful for him to be asking. He doesn't have the right to ask, and yet he's asking. And it also, he said, it also includes السؤال عن المسائل التي لم تقع ولم يحتاج إلى بعثها. And it also includes asking about issues that didn't happen, didn't occur, and which there's no need to even be asking about it, to be searching it, to be researching it. No need for it. Just asking, just to be asking. Making up questions to ask. Nothing happened, and there's no real need to be researching such a thing then. And yet we're asking about it. وَأُغْنُ الطَّاطِ الْمَسَائِلِ And also those type of issues where a person ask questions in order to stumble, to make the one whose question stumble. Asking questions where he's really trying to find fault. He's using the question to try to catch the person. Some kind of error. Tricky questions. Allahu musta'an. Allahu a'lam. Fault-finding questions. And he also asked the people for wealth, and also including this is asking the people for their wealth and their property merely to get an increase. Meaning you have what you need, you have more than what's necessary, but you just keep trying to pile it up. Allah hates this. This is haram. Then the Shaykh mentions under this point, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5, Ayah 101. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبَدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. That all you who believe, the people of Iman, do not ask about things which if it is made clear, if it is explained, if it is brought out for you, it will make difficulty for you, cause you to have trouble, cause problems for you. 5.101. Don't ask about questions which if it's made clear, and the ayah goes on to say, while the Quran is being revealed, because Allah will make it clear. Like a person, when the Prophet ﷺ said that Hajj is obligatory on the people, the Prophet ﷺ said Hajj is made obligatory upon you, فَرَضَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَنْ حَجُّ فَحَجُّ. So make Hajj, then a man asks, أَفِي كُلِّ عَامِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Do we have to make it, is it obligatory every year? The Prophet was stuck. He didn't say anything. But the man kept asking, and every year, Ya Rasulullah, and every year, kept asking, until the Prophet insisted, the Prophet was trying to leave it. Don't ask questions that not necessary to ask, because you may ask and Allah reveal and make it obligatory upon you, it'd be a trouble, because you won't be able to make Hajj every year. So the Prophet ﷺ said, La. No, it's not obligatory every year. But if I had said yes, it would have become obligatory upon you. Huh? Sometimes we ask questions, make trouble for ourselves. Just leave it alone. Leave the matter alone. It's reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, Hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the most greatest of the Muslims, أعظم المسلمين جرما, in crime, the most greatest crime that any Muslim would commit is that a person acts about something which has not been prohibited. And then as a result of his question, because of him asking, Allah made it prohibited on the people. Now he made a hardship on the whole ummah. Allahumma musta'an. And the Shaykh goes on to say that also included in this is asking about the affairs of the people and the happenings or events that are taking place around. And from those things that are not necessary for us. And asking a person about his personal affairs, the details of his affairs. To ask him how much money he makes. Much money did he spend on his wife? What is he spending? How is he doing this? And how much money you got in the bank, brother? Sister? And how much money do you, how much your bills? Do you have any extra? I'm asking a lot of questions about somebody's personal affairs. Some people keep asking questions because the person is really like stuck, like, give me a break. I don't know how to say, you know, get away from me. Some of us do that. I've seen it. Allahu musta'an. And it has been confirmed from a group of the scholars of the Salaf, and the dislike for asking about questions that generally are impossible to even occur. Some things that is just not even reality. Or some things which are extremely rare, the occurrence of them are extremely rare, and somebody's asking about it. Because this is from the affairs that a person goes too far into delving into, and it's conjecture. And the person who involves himself in these things will never be free from error. They're guaranteed to fall into error. And Shaykh Al-Faymin, rahimahullah, says concerning kathrat al-su'al, asking too many questions or requests, he said that Allah hates asking a lot of questions. Included in this is asking for wealth and also asking for knowledge. Two things, asking for wealth and asking for knowledge. In the same way, that these two matters are included in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Duha, Surah 93, Ayah 10, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَى. And as for the sa'il, the one who's asking, maybe asking for some money, or asking about some issue of knowledge, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَى. Do not repulse him. Do not repulse him. The Shaykh said, this ayah includes both types of asking. So asking too much, he said, is also فِيمَا يَحَلُّ لَكَ. This is not proper that a person ask in that which is lawful for you to be asking, but too much asking. Like maybe a person is kind of needy. They don't really have a lot of money. So they ask sometimes. That's okay. But every day, like every time you see him, he's asking. What do you do with a person like that? Start running down the other side of the street when you see them coming. Because even though it's lawful for them to ask, but too much asking, there's got to be a limit to everything. He said, this is makruha, it's disgusting, detestable. As far as asking about that which is not lawful to ask, then this is clearly haram. Not lawful, then that's clearly haram. Even a little bit of asking in the matters that are forbidden, even a little bit of it. Yani, in asking that which is halal, you shouldn't ask a lot. But as far as that which is haram, you shouldn't even ask a little bit. And then the Shaykh goes on to say that this too much asking is also related to matters of learning, of knowledge. But the too much asking in matters of learning, it requires some explanation. Meaning, it requires some detail. If the person intends by asking a lot to increase their knowledge because they want to learn more about Islam, they want to learn more about the deen, they're asking in order to learn so that they can learn Islam, so that they can practice and worship Allah, then this is matlub. This is something that the person should do. Now, this is desirable. And the hadith does not indicate that this kind of asking is prohibited. But as far as if what is intended by asking a lot of questions is to ask questions in order to find fault with the one who is being questioned, to catch them in error, to make them slip or fall, to put them in an embarrassing situation, إحراج المسؤول وإظهار أنه بحافة. Trying to make the what? The one who's being questioned, trying to embarrass him, asking questions to try to trick him, or maybe asking something that he don't know, so he can make the people see this guy ain't really all that. Or to make himself look like he's a bahafa, he's a big scholar. Like the person asking so many questions, the people who are listening say, wow, he's really on it, he got a lot. But the question, he asking so many questions, make him look good. This is prohibited. This is prohibited by this hadith. And this is from the causes of error, it causes people to go into error. Because the person who talks a lot is going to make a lot of mistakes. And this also annoys the one who is being questioned. And it causes them to run away from the questioner. This is harmful to both sides. The one who's asking questions and the one who's being questioned. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, is what is intended by this hadith of asking too many questions? Does this mean one person asking too many questions? Or does it include a lot of people who are asking many questions? Meaning a lot of questions came from a lot of people. Or does this mean one person asking a lot of questions? He said, this means from one person. For example, if a person has 100 students, and each one of those students asks a question, so there will be 100 questions. So is this what we're saying is dislike? That if there's 100 students and every one of them asks one question, that's asking too many questions? No. But what we're talking about is one person coming with a whole bunch of questions. And every time the questioner answers a question, he comes with another question right behind that one. He asks one question, he answers, he has the next put another question. He answers that, he has another question. One person just asking a lot of questions, one behind another. Especially if the questioner keeps the one who's being questioned to himself, like nobody else can't get a word in. Huh? Doesn't give anybody else a chance, especially in this case. This is prohibited. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, we've already made clear that asking a lot includes asking a lot of questions for wealth. I mean, asking a lot for wealth, and it also includes asking from knowledge a lot, too much, with the explanation that he has given, that it doesn't include every situation. And what is intended by asking for wealth? It means too much asking by the person who does have a right to ask, but he asks too much. As far as the one who doesn't have a right to ask, this is prohibited, no matter if he asks a lot or a little bit. And we can save the questions for the end, brothers or sisters, because we really just try to write a note, unless it's like something that definitely you don't understand a word of what I'm talking about. If there's some matter that's not clear at all, I'll try. But really, we'll try to save the questions for the end. Now. There are some people who have a right to ask. Person who's needy has a right to ask. Person who's not needy doesn't have a right to ask. Begging is haram. Except for the person who doesn't have anything. Okay, a person who's really in need, is lawful for that person to ask. Person who's not in need is haram to ask. Haram. Not lawful in Islam. Person has no need and he's asking. He's trying to take the people's property. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says, asking too much. This is disliked by Allah. This is in reference to wealth, that asking for wealth, except when there's a need. The person should not ask other people for their wealth, except عند الحاجة. Except they really have a need. They're in need. Okay, then you can ask. And in that case, the person should ask in accordance with their need. Huh? You need $2.50 to get home and get on the bus? Don't try to ask for $20. Ask according to your need. That's your need, you have a right to ask. Beyond that, you don't have a right to ask. That becomes haram. You need $35, you ask for $55. You really have a need, but you don't have a need for $55. That's not permissible. Not permissible to do that. You know, some people say, well, I'm in need, so this is an opportunity. Let me take advantage of it. I'm just going around and ask everybody. I need some money to get such and such. And you start collecting, you get what you need, and you keep collecting. That's haram. Haram. And this is because begging is haram. Illa inda durura. Except for necessity. Except for necessity. So the Prophet ﷺ has made permissible that a person acts in three conditions. One of them, a person who has been struck by a calamity or a disaster. His wealth has been destroyed by a calamity. So he acts until he's able to get back up on his feet. And he fulfills any of the need that was caused by the calamity that destroyed his wealth. The second one is a person who has taken on the responsibility for somebody else who's in debt, who has a penalty or a fine. Like somebody killed somebody accidentally, and he has to pay blood money. There's 100,000 reals. And he don't got that kind of money. So somebody says, I'll carry the responsibility of trying to get that money for you. They can go and ask. They don't have the money to pay it, but they said, I'll take the responsibility of getting it and collecting it. So they go and ask until they collect enough to pay that person's fine or their penalty or their debt. Or a person who's trying to make reconciliation between people, two differing parties, and he takes on the responsibility to collect money in order to what? Reconcile between the people, to pay some money to fix up whatever the problem is. So he acts until he's able to collect the amount, pay the fine or the penalty or whatever it is. So this is permissible for him. And the third one is the person who has been struck by poverty. Who has been struck by poverty. So he was hungry, starving, had no money. He's in poverty or she's in poverty. So he acts until he's able to collect enough money to take care of his needs. And then then he stops. He holds himself back. He holds himself back. Restrain yourself. And other than these three cases, not halal to beg. And this is as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, as reported by Imam Muslim, hadith of Qubaysa ibn Makhariq al-Hilali. So what are these three cases? Person whose wealth has been destroyed by a calamity. Person who takes the responsibility to collect the money to pay somebody's fine or some penalty that they can't afford to pay. Or a person who has been struck by poverty, who's hungry. They're starving, so they need to beg. They got to ask somebody so they can eat. Other than these three cases, it's not lawful for a person to beg. So, the Sheikh says, asking too much. And so far we talked about asking for wealth. But it also includes asking concerning the issues of learning, masail al-ilm. So a person should not ask a lot of questions, but he should ask in accordance with his need. If some issue, some problematic issue occurred to him, he has a need to know about. He doesn't understand it. So he asks about the problem. Yani that's related to him, that he's in need of knowing from the issues of knowledge. As far as asking about things that one has no need to know. You don't really need to know about it. And it has not occurred, something that didn't happen, but rather it's just hypothetical situations, speculation. What if it snowed in July? Not to say that can't happen, but it didn't happen. What are you asking about snowing in July for? That's not reality. What if everybody in America became a Muslim and this was a Muslim state? Come on. Like, that's hypothetical. Speculation, supposition. Suppose this, suppose that. We shouldn't ask about these things. Unreal situations. And likewise, we shouldn't ask too many questions of the scholars. For the purpose of al-ihraj lahum wal-imtihan, to embarrass them, put them in a tough situation, or to test them. See how much he knows. So I ask him a lot of questions, all kind of stuff. We shouldn't do that. But some of the people, they want to test the scholar. But they ask a lot of questions in order to disable him, to render him incapable, to show that he ain't all that. So don't embarrass the scholar by asking questions that you have no need for. And if you want to ask a question, the Sheikh ends with this. If you want to ask a question, brothers and sisters, this is something for us to learn. If you want to ask a question, فَأَحْسَنْ سِغَةَ السُّؤَالِ. Word the question, do well in the way you word the question. Ask a proper question, not a question that nobody can understand. Think about your question before you ask. Don't just say anything, just start rumbling. And at the end of it, everybody's sitting there looking like, we don't even know what the question is. If you want to ask a question, think about what your question is. Think about how you want to, what you want to ask and how you want to ask, and then ask the proper question. وَأَلْقِهِ بِأَدَبْ وَلَا بِجَفَاءٍ. And ask the question with adab, respectfully, not with harshness and rudeness. Like a Bedouin coming to the Prophet ﷺ and start shouting at him with a question. Ask your question with respect. Some of us are like Bedouins. Ghetto Bedouins. We ask questions like we get ready to jump on somebody. So too much asking the questions, whether it's asking for requests for wealth or knowledge or in ordinary affairs, all of this is yani fruitless, useless. Too much asking of questions. But rather, ask according to the need, whether it's from wealth or knowledge or in ordinary affairs. Ask the question intending behind this question some maslaha, some benefit for you or for the person who's being questioned. And there's no harm in that case. And then we go to the final point of this hadith, Ida'atul Mal, that Allah dislikes wasting of wealth. This is a big, big one for us. May Allah save us from wasting wealth. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, he says, wasting of wealth, it means, number one, spending it in things, in ways that Allah has not legislated for wealth to be spent. And in unlawful things. That's one. Two, leaving your wealth or your property unguarded, unprotected, so it's lost. Because if Allah gave you something, it's a amanah, you got to take care of it. You don't just put your wallet down, come in the masjid, I'm in the masjid, you put your wallet down, it's fat, and the money is sticking out of it. And you go and make wudu, you go to the bathroom for half an hour and come back, and you expect it to be there. Now, I mean, it should be there, huh? You buy a brand new telephone that costs $500, and you sit on the floor in the masjid and go somewhere. Go to McDonald's and buy a milkshake, inshallah, something lawful. And then come back and your telephone is gone. That's wasting wealth because you didn't protect it. Number three, leaving it until it's ruined or spoiled. Like you have something that has to be taken care of and you just abandon it. And then it goes bad. That's wasting wealth. Or the Shaykh said, fourth, he said, يرميه إذا كان يسيرا كبرا عن تناوله. That a person leaves, he throws it away because it's something insignificant. Just a nickel or dime. And he's too proud to pick it up. Just a nickel. That's also wasting wealth. He said these are examples of wasting wealth that have been prohibited. And then he says, he goes on to say in another place that what is intended by wasting wealth is spending it in a way that has not been made permissible by the Sharia. Any unlawful means. No matter if you're spending it in some kind of religious affair or in a worldly affair. Spending it in a way that the Sharia has not made permissible. And the prohibition of wasting wealth is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the wealth as a means to fulfill the interests and the well-being of His servants. He had made wealth to use it, to take care of your interests, to fulfill your interests and take care of your well-being. So in squandering the wealth, then a person has lost out on this, yani on the interests that Allah has intended for it to be used for, the things that Allah intended it for. An exception to this, to spending a lot of wealth, an exception to this is spending a lot of wealth in those things that are the ways of righteousness. Any of the things that are considered righteousness and goodness in order to achieve the reward of the hereafter. This is an exception. A person can spend a lot of wealth in that. In doing something that's considered righteousness in order to get the reward of Allah in the next life. That's accepted. We don't include that. That a person spending too much or wasting wealth. That's not wasting wealth as long as the person in doing so doesn't pass up some other right that's upon him that's more important than what he's spending it in. He's spending it in something good, but he has other obligations that are more important than that. And then he abandoned those things. The Shaykh says, on this point, closing on this point, he says that the scholars have divided spending into three types of spending. Spending that is muharram, haram, spending that is mustahab, commendable or beloved, and spending that is mubaha, permissible. Said what? The scholars have divided spending into three types of spending. The spending that's haram, the spending that's mustahab, and the spending that's mubah. The spending that's haram is a person spends his wealth in blameworthy affairs. Yani what the Sharia considers blameworthy. Like in gambling or intoxicants or things like this. Buying the latest movies. Allahu musta'an. I don't know. Don't they buy movies? Or they just, I don't know how you don't know. I'm sure that people buy movies. Because somebody told me today they could get movies on their telephone. Huh? That's true? Huh? That's free? Huh? That's free movies? Yeah, brother, I'm talking to the little brothers in the back. Those are free movies? I know you all know. Allah protect us from that. That's haram. Mustahab is spending in those things that are considered khair, good, righteousness, and ta'a, obedience. And helping to spread the deen of Allah and raising the word of Allah high. And in those things that are considered mustahab, any kind of spending that's mustahab, any obedience to Allah and spreading the deen of Allah and things like this, whatever is considered good, this is mustahab. And the third type is the mubaha, nafaqat al-mubaha, that is permissible. And the scholars, he said, divide this into two divisions. One of them is a person spends in that which is suitable and appropriate for the one who's spending to be spending on. And it's suitable for him to be spending in such a way. It's in accordance with his wealth and his condition. He's spending according to his means. Then this is not considered wasting wealth. It's not extravagance and it's permissible. The second one is that a person spends فيما لا يليق به عرفا. He spends in those things that's not appropriate and suitable. It's not proper for him to be spending in this kind of way. Meaning it's not in accordance with his wealth. Maybe he's a poor person. He's buying a whatever kind of car is very expensive. He could afford to buy a $10,000 car. That's suitable for him. But he's buying a $50,000 car. And he's in debt, and he's getting money from the bank, and he's doing all kind of stuff. He can't pay his bills. That's not suitable. Even though it's permissible to buy a car, that's not suitable for him. So the majority of the scholars say that this is extravagance. The person will be spending it in such a way. Tayyib, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, as for wasting of wealth, the definition that he gives for wasting of wealth, he says, هو صرفه في غير فائدة لا دينية ولا دنيوية. That a person spends his wealth in that which contains no benefit. No religious benefit, nor any worldly benefit. I mean, it doesn't benefit him in his deen, and it doesn't benefit him in his worldly life. No benefit. Because some things are not a religious benefit, but it benefits you in your worldly life. No benefit whatsoever. This is what the Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, is wasting wealth. Spending your wealth in that which contains no benefit. Not religious benefit, nor worldly benefit. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the wealth to be a means to fulfill your needs. And that's why Allah said in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, Ayah 5, وَلَا تُؤْتُ الصُّفَهَا أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعْلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. And don't give your wealth to the foolish. The wealth which Allah has made to be a means of support for you. Take care of your livelihood. Don't give it to the foolish. Like some children, you get them some money, they don't know what to do with it, right? If you give them a dollar, maybe today you can't do nothing with a dollar, right? But if you give them $5, they're going to waste it. If you give them $10, they're going to waste it. If you give them $20, they're going to waste it. So they don't know the value of money. So don't give the money that Allah has made a means of support for you to take care of yourself. Don't give it to the foolish. You don't have to be children. It could be adults too. Some adults are foolish. You give them $100, they'll spend it all on a telephone. You give them $500, they'll buy a $500 telephone. You give them $1,000, they'll buy a $1,000 telephone. They ain't got no money. That's all they got. They spend it on the telephone. Allahu musta'an. I mean, telephones are good, I guess. You can live without it though. If you don't believe it, try it. It causes you a little discomfort to survive. He said, the wealth that Allah has made to take care of your affairs in this world, if a person wastes it, then he has used it in other than the way that Allah has made it to be used. And how many times do we find a person who Allah has enriched, has gave him wealth, and then he spent a lot of wealth, and he wasted it. And then you find him one day, poor, with nothing. Huh? How many rich people, boxers, sports figures, entertainers, huh? How many of them are broke? Now, even though they had millions of dollars, not 1 million, maybe 50 million, 100 million, and now they broke. And then he wish that he had not spent it like that. And the Shaykh says, hey, hat. But it's done. Like, wishing and hoping is useless now. So it's prohibited to waste wealth. But we should notice, and then the Shaykh has a long discussion about this, but I'm going to summarize it. We should notice that the wasting of wealth is close to the meaning of al-israf. Yani idaat al-mal is close in meaning to israf. Wasting of wealth here is close to extravagance in meaning. Because extravagance is also haram. Yani that a person spends his wealth in that which is prohibited. But al-israf, yani extravagance in the use of wealth, differs. Extravagance for one person is not extravagance for another person. Meaning what might be extravagance for this person is not extravagance for this person, because their levels are different. In other words, to make it simple, the person who is very poor, who works on a normal job as a laborer, makes a little bit of money, Buying an expensive car is considered extravagance. But a person who's a millionaire or billionaire, buying an expensive car is not considered extravagance. Not extravagance. That's what the Sheikh is saying. And he says, for example, the person who's poor, he buys a car, a luxury car. The type of car that nobody except the rich people buy. This is considered extravagance for that person. But if a rich person bought the same car, it's not considered extravagance. Everyone will be considered accordingly, according to his condition. And then, near the end of what the Sheikh says, because he goes into this discussion about this, but I mean, he makes a good discussion, and time, though, upon us. He says, from the benefits of this hadith, the prohibition of wasting wealth. And this is a tremendous word, comprehensive word, that includes everything that a person spends their wealth in that is of no benefit, not in their deen nor in their dunya, and this is wasting wealth. And from this meaning, that anything that a person spends their wealth in that has no benefit, that this is what's called wasting wealth, he said from this meaning, we take the prohibition of smoking. Smoking. Dukhan. Smoking cigarettes, cigars, pipes. All kind of smoking. He said, yes. If a person said, the one who smokes said, that I feel good, I feel some joy and happiness when I'm smoking. We say, yeah, yes. You might feel some joy or some happiness, or some sensation of comfort or whatever. But the harmful effects of it far exceeds the benefits that you claim to get from it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram for us al-khamr, intoxicants, and al-maisir, gambling, because the sin of these two things is greater than any benefit that comes from them. Huh? So we say to you that if you get some joy or some delight and some comfort from smoking, because you got accustomed to it, it's a habit. And this is the same for the people who yashrabuna al-shahi. I don't know what they call it. I don't know what's the name of it. It's that pipe that they have in some of the Arab countries. That they, a big thing, and they be smoking that thing. I saw a Jew, a Yahudi, right on St. John's about 2 weeks ago. We were coming from the masjid one night. He was sitting on the steps with a lady smoking that thing. It's the first time I saw it in America. He said, a person, huh? Somebody's laughing. Oh yeah, he was there, right? Abdul Qadir. I said, look at that. Yeah, we hear this smoking that thing. Huh? Shahi. Huh? Not Shay. Nafsu Shay? Wait. In any case, he said that if the person who smokes cigarettes gets some joy from it, and he finds some comfort in it, then we say that this doesn't count. And that is because the harms are more than the benefits. And whatever the harm that comes from, whenever the harm from a thing is greater than the benefits, then it is haram. And this is a qaida shara'iyya. Yani a principle, a sharia principle, that whenever the harms of a thing are greater than the benefits, then that thing becomes prohibited. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah of the Quran, 219. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, that they ask you about intoxicants and gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. Then say, in these two things, there's a great sin. Yani intoxicants and gambling. And there's some type of benefit for the people in them, but the sin of them is greater than the benefit. Whenever the sin of something is greater than the benefit, then this thing is forbidden. And finally, Sheikh Saad al-Fawzan, rahimahullah, Allah yahfadhu, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says that wasting of wealth, there's no doubt that wealth is really the strength of a person's life. And you need it in order to live. And it's a ni'mah, a blessing from Allah, Jalla wa Ala. And we have been commanded to protect and preserve our wealth. As Allah mentions in Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, fifth ayah, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. And don't give to the foolish amongst you your wealth, which Allah has made as a means of your livelihood. So the wealth, it is a ni'mah, a blessing from Allah. So whenever you have attained it, then it is incumbent upon you to protect it and not to waste it. Especially, or even if you are spending it in that which contains no benefit, or you are causing it to be destroyed, or you are leaving it in a place unprotected so that it is lost, where you didn't use any means to preserve it. All of this is prohibited. Because wealth is a responsibility and it's a trust, and you are going to be questioned about it. So don't waste it. Not by spending it in that which contains no benefit, nor by failing to protect and preserve it or to care for it. And the scholars have mentioned, rahimahumullah, that spending has three conditions. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says spending has three conditions. The first of those conditions is that the spending is in obedience to Allah. And this is something that is encouraged and is not considered wasting wealth. And this is what is intended by wealth. Yani that it be spent in obedience to Allah. And the second hal, the second hala, athaniya, is spending wealth in that which, for that which you have need. Yani you are in need of something. And this also, there's no blame on the person in spending their wealth for that which they need. Because wealth has been placed there to use for you to take care of your needs. So if you have spent it to take care of your needs, then there's no blame in doing so. And the third hala, al-hala thalitha, is that a person spends it in ma'asiyatillah, that a person spends it in disobedience to Allah. And this is the wasting of wealth, and it is haram, and it is haram even if it is only a small amount. Spending wealth in disobedience to Allah is haram. It's wasting wealth even if it's a small amount, even if it's just one dirham, yani $1, one quarter, one nickel. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink, but do not be wasteful or extravagant. And then the Shaykh says that also waste or spending of wealth has three darajat. Yani there are three levels of spending. In the first level, darajatul ula is al-wajibat, those things which are obligatory. Spending in that which is obligatory is the highest level. And al-daraja al-thaniya, the second level, yani that's less, is spending in the mustahabbat, yani those things which are not obligatory, but they are commendable, they're praiseworthy, they're rewarding. And the third level, darajat al-thalitha, is spending the wealth in the mubahat, yani those things which are permissible. So the best of spending, the highest level, is those things which are obligatory. The second level is spending with those things which are not obligatory, but they're praiseworthy and commendable and rewardable. The third level is spending in that which is permissible. And if the Shaykh says spending in the obligatory things is a necessity, like paying the zakat, or spending on yourself for your needs, or your children, or your relatives. And the second level, the mustahabbat, the things which are commendable, is like making donations for the people who are needy, or in those projects which are charity projects, and to help people who are poor and needy. And this is also desirable. And this is not considered wasting wealth. And the third level, the lowest level, permissible spending is in those things which are mubahat, you know, those things which are not obligatory and they're not even mustahab, but it's permissible. And they are neither wajibat nor the mustahabbat, but they are permissible things. And this is like a person buying some fruit to eat, or some meat to eat, or buying some clothing, some new clothing to wear, or buying a suitable, appropriate, fitting place to live in, house, or an appropriate, yani that which is suitable and befitting of him, any means of transportation, automobile or something. All of this is permissible. It's not obligatory and it's not even mustahab, but it's permissible. And it has been said that there's no harm in doing this, and it has also been said, some said that there's no harm in doing it if the person is economizes in spending in the permissible things. That a person should economize, they should be frugal, they should be thrifty, and they should not buy everything that they desire. Yani everything that their soul desires, everything that they see, they just buy it. Rather, a person should economize, and they should be balanced. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 67th Ayat, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. That those who, Surah 25, Furqan, Ayat 67, and those who when they spend, they are not extravagant, nor are they stingy, holding back, but they are balanced between the two. So spending, and this is what we close with, so spending should be in ta'atullah. Spending should be in obedience to Allah. And this is not wasting of wealth, even if you spend a lot in obedience to Allah. And spending in ma'asiyah to Allah, in disobedience to Allah, this is wasteful, even if you only spend one dirham, any $1 or one quarter. This is wasteful, even if it's a little amount. So you are to be questioned about it on Yawmul Qiyamah, how you have spent the wealth. So make as your scale this ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Furqan, ayah 67, those who when they spend, they are not wasteful, nor do they hold back. And if they don't spend too much, nor do they be stingy with it. Rather, they should take the middle course between al-israf, extravagance and wastefulness, and between al-bukhl, and being stingy. And then he mentioned also the saying of Allah, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. And you don't make your hand, yani like tied to your neck, meaning holding back that you don't spend. This is stinginess. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ بَسْطٍ. And don't also spread it out, like just spending too much. This is israf. And he also said the saying of Allah, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. And don't be wasteful. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Indeed, those who are wasteful, they are the brothers of the devils. Naam? And the devil, he was ungrateful to his Lord. This is in Surah Al-Isra, 17:27. So whoever spends his wealth in unlawful desires, in traveling to the lands of the disbelievers for recreation, for vacation, whoever spends his wealth in their hotels and in their recreation parks, or I don't know what they call those places for any relaxation, amusement parks and all of that stuff, and mixing with the kuffar, this is israf, this is wastefulness. This is idaatul mal, this is wasting wealth, squandering wealth. And the person soon will be asked about it on Yawm Qiyamah. How did he spend it? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We have maybe 2 or 3 minutes. If there's any question about what we said, inshallah. نعم. عليك السلام. The journalist is journalizing haram. Journalism, is it haram? Because the journalist asks too much. Allahu a'lam, if journalism is haram. I mean, a person who writes news, that's not necessarily haram. But the journalism that we know, where people go around asking about everything and anything and unlimited and transgressing the bounds of people's privacy, of course that's haram, for sure. But I mean, making a newspaper and writing news that people are in need to know about certain things, that's not haram. Allah knows best. But going too far to the extreme, like these people, they ask too much. They ask everything. They go beyond the bounds. They invade people's privacy. That's prohibited, for sure. Allah knows best. Naam. Khayr. So we'll close here. Now, come.